You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, waiting in the studio for someone to come join me.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You're out of luck. I haven't left my attic since March 12th.
So where are you playing golf?
I don't go anywhere.
So where are you playing golf then? In the attic? A little.
No, little I don't play golf in the attic. I go to a golf course because it's outdoors and it's not, you know, a COVID repository. But in terms of this show, I'm in this attic.
You look
decorated.
Great. You look great, though.
Yeah, I'm decorated with far too many egomaniacal pictures of myself. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon has a well-deserved day off. So out of the pen comes the talented right-hander, fill-in Frank Isola. Wow, cheering. There must be live bodies there. Are there live people there, or is that piped in sort of like when I watch the Nats game and there's sound that's piped in?
They're live. They're socially distanced, which is good, too. So
good. We begin today with developments in the NBA. The league and the Players Association issued a joint statement today saying playoff games will resume tomorrow and that the league and the players are committed to a social justice coalition to increase access to voting and to press for police reform. Also, in every city where the NBA owns an arena, if possible, that arena will be converted to a voting facility on Election Day. And the league and its television partners will work with players to create advertising spots about social justice. Frank, you covered the NBA for years. Take it.
You know, Tony, I don't think when George Hill decided not to play, followed by his teammates in solidarity, I don't think that they really had much of a plan. But a few days after the fact, they hit the reset button, and I think they've actually accomplished something here. First of all, not playing for a couple of days probably was good for them to get mentally refreshed, number one, but they got the owners to do something. And I've always felt all along, being down there. Listen, they're in a bubble, so they don't really know what the reaction is to the NBA down in Orlando, but they are accomplishing something. And the idea that maybe they were going to shut it down, I think that would have hurt them in some ways. They have a platform. To me, they accomplished a lot down there. They'll continue to play, and the message that they want out will continue to get out.
So I'm going to treat you as the expert in this because I know nothing about it, and I think you do. Obviously, what we saw was a show of power, a flexing of muscles. And I understand that. And I understand the cause, the root cause behind it. But I'm asking you, as a fan now, what are the chances that they will stop playing again? I'm not going to use the word boycott or a word strike, but what are the chances they'll decide, okay, we're done right now, we're not continuing?
And I think that's why the NBA and the owners of all these teams, I think they listen to the players because I think that's a concern that they're going to have because we're seeing this already in a lot of sports. The NHL not playing. There's been talk about football teams. Russell Wilson said if we had a game this week, we probably wouldn't play. Saquon Barkley of the Giants has said the same thing. So when they went into this, and you could tell by reading the reports of that meeting, and I talked to people that were down in the bubble, that meeting got contentious because everyone wanted to know, all right, you guys on the Milwaukee Bucks, you wanted to do this. Why weren't we involved somehow, though? You kind of caught us off guard. But once they got past that, I think they accomplished something. They got to the owners. And maybe now, to your point, could the NFL players perhaps do the same with their owners? Could their owners start opening up their stadiums to have as a voting station? Imagine if they do that in Dallas with Jerry Jones and Jerry's World. That could happen.
So I understand, and I was talking with Wilbon about this yesterday, that the long play is politics.
Yeah.
The wheels of justice grind slowly, so I don't know that all the people, all the aims that the players have will be accomplished all that quickly. But there's two things that happen. 100 NBA employees walked out today
right.
in New York and New Jersey because they felt that Adam Silver and the owners weren't doing enough. I'm asking you, will this satisfy them? And the second point that I find very interesting is that Michael Jordan is now involved. And Michael Jordan, it is said, is going to other owners to try and convince them of his viewpoint of all these social issues as a black man, the only full owner, you know, who's black in the league. does he then assume a position of leadership? What about both those things?
And I think it's such a huge asset to have a guy like Michael Jordan come in and kind of, you know, act as a liaison between Chris Paul, the Players Association, the players, and the owners. I definitely think it helps. I got to be honest with you, Tony. You tell me, don't you think that the NBA, I understand that the players want more. There's nothing wrong with that. I actually think the league, starting with Adam Silver, has listened to the players. They wanted them to come down to the bubble because they wanted to play basketball. Everybody wants to make money. We understand that. But the players wanted something else down there, and I think they've been getting it down there. I think the league has listened to the players.
For certain, that is the league listens to the players the most, it seems to me. Again, I don't want to take too much time, but what I wonder about is if things aren't accomplished quickly, do we, you know, what do we see then?
I know. And I think, too, now, to your point, I think the players are really starting to understand the power that they have. And I do think if they don't see change, but I do think the owners are listening. The owners are listening to the players right here, and there's a lot of money involved. That's why the players, what they have as leverage is going back on the court, and I think them doing that is also a powerful statement and a smart statement.
And by the way, it's not just basketball players. All athletes look at all athletes, and they see the shift in the power now towards them.
Exactly.
We'll go to another story. At the moment, the two power conferences that have decided not to play football this year are the Big Ten and the Pac-12. But now there is reporting that the Big Ten may reverse itself and play football starting in November. The Big Ten playing football is a real big deal with big implications for the playoffs. Frank, what do you think about this?
All right, let's start with the dates here. November 26 is when they would start. The college football playoff semifinals are January 1st. The national championship game, as of right now, is January 11th. Tony, I would suggest to you, and I get it, that's when the students will be off campus, they'll be home for Thanksgiving break, you can create a bubble. But if you're going to play football again, why not put yourself in a position where you could be involved in the national semifinals and championship game and perhaps return on November 1st? What about October 15th? The players are there. You know they're practicing. If you're going to take the step, why not go all the way and try to get a real season in?
So let me take the other point of view on that by saying the Pac-12 not playing means nothing. The conference has no teams that anybody cares about.
Yep.
The Big Ten is a real big deal. The Big Ten has Ohio State, and they have Michigan, they have Penn State. They have the decayed carcass of Nebraska, which used to be a good team. You can't have playoffs and championships without the Big Ten if the Big Ten is competing.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So you can't set those playoffs in stone on those dates. You're going to have to extend a little bit. You may be right that it would start a little bit earlier if it starts, but you're going to have to let the Big Ten in because, you know, the Big Ten is very important. And I mean no disrespect to you, but I wish Wilbon was here today because the Northwestern implications of this would just make me laugh so hard. You know, they really would.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? So what their plan right now is because if they do play in January or, you know, late November into January, the idea would be playing indoors in these dome stadiums. You know that in some of these places, whether it's Happy Valley in Pennsylvania or it's Columbus, Ohio, they would love to get to a place like they're doing the SEC where they allow some fans into the building because the hotels in those towns, the restaurants, everything else, you know how much that affects them. And it also tells you the players fighting this, the parents of the players fighting this, and it also just tells you how powerful college football is to this country that people want to see it back after the president said we're not playing.
Look, I said this the other day about Lane Kiffin. You may not like Lane Kiffin or what he's done to this point. He's 100% right that if you don't want to play football, let those kids transfer to me because we're going to play football in the SEC.
Yep.
We're going to play football in the ACC. We're going to play football in the Big 12, and we're going to play football in the NFL. I don't know how the NFL is keeping it safe, but they appear to be. These kids went to school to play football, not to go to chemistry class. That's why they're there, to play football. So if you can play, I would say to let them play. And I know Mike is completely opposed to this point of view that I'm saying right now. I know he is.
All right, really quickly. On January 1st, is Ohio State one of the teams in the national semifinals? Could they
pull this off? The national semifinals will not be on January 1st if the Big Ten decides to play.
Look at
they're
going
to move it.
All right, well, speaking of moving, let's move on to the chaos with a team that's near and dear to our hearts. That, of course, is the New York Mets. The team took the field with the Marlins last night. They honored Jackie Robinson with 42 seconds of silence and then left the field and did not play. But this is where things get interesting. General manager Brody Van Wagenen was picked up on a hot mic saying that Commissioner Rob Manfred, quote, doesn't get it, by privately suggesting that the teams return to the field to play. But Mets COO Jeff Wilpon released a statement saying the suggestion was his, not the commissioner's. Van Wagenen then apologized. Tony, how hot is Brody's seat after this mess over in Flushing?
Okay, so he put his feet right in it.
Yep.
Now, he's got history with Manfred. When he was an agent, they had a contentious relationship. Now he's a GM. And he said Manfred had bad leadership skills. Okay, that's one. Then he finds out it ain't Manfred who said go back on the field. It's the owner of his team.
Yep.
So the two people he works for, the Wilpon people and the Manfred people, he antagonizes both of them in one fell swoop. And it's picked up on this mic, and the guy got hosed because you can hear him say, this just between you and me, right? And that was leaked to somebody else. But he goes out and he apologizes, and he doesn't say, I apologize if you might have been offended by what I said or if you misinterpreted what. He said, I did this. I was wrong. Totally my responsibility. If you ask me what his future is, the Mets are for sale.
That's right.
And no matter who comes in, they're probably going to want their own managerial staff.
Yeah.
So, in effect, what he's doing now, Frank, is he's auditioning maybe for his next job.
I think you're saying that Jennifer Lopez is probably going to get rid of him. Let me just tell you right now, when I'm picked up on a hot mic criticizing you and Wilbon, it's really Kelleher and Reinholm that I'm talking to, just so we're, so we're clear right now. You know, I covered the Mets one year, and, you know, they lost 103 games, I think it was. That was a year one of the players threw a firecracker in the parking lot, and a piece of pavement hit a girl in the cheek, and then another player squirted bleach on a reporter. Those were the fun old days of the New York Mets. You get to where they are now. And with Brody not knowing, first of all, this was their team's own website. And give credit to a University of Maryland journalism student. He's the one that found this on the Mets website, according to a story by Andrew Marchand in the New York Post. And that's what started this whole thing rolling right here. But, Tony, how about this part of it? Jeff Wilpon and his dad, Fred Wilpon, the owner of the team, they both sent out a statement blaming Brody. They spelled his name wrong in the release. So that should give you a sense where we are in this one.
Well, the first year that he was there, whenever I referred to him as Brady. I didn't even really know his name.
It's like a soap opera name. Brody Van
Coming up, can you believe the NFL season starts in 13 days? What's the word for that?
And how much should the Houston Rockets rely on a recovering Russell Westbrook?
So we have props. I got my doctor outfit for what's the word. I got my jacket.
Brody,
feel pretty good about
Brody
that.
Van Wagenen.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Warning, Frank, there's a word fanatic in the attic. What's first?
It's blank that the NFL season starts in 13 days.
It's amazing because it's been out of sight, out of mind. There have been no exhibition games. There's basically been no news whatsoever. And now we're going to get an NFL season, at least a start, and the ratings are going to be spectacular. I can't wait for this.
That's why my word is encouraging, Tony, because I think we talk about all these sports. We could probably live without this, live without that. I want to prove that we can live without football because I don't believe it. I think people in this country need football. The NFL, college football. And to your point, there hasn't been any buildup. No Tom Brady where we could analyze the one possession that he plays in the preseason. There's been none of that thus far.
No, I mean, there's just no sense of football whatsoever. No. And it's boom, it's going to happen. They're going to start. Don't know if they'll finish. Next.
It's blank that Russell Westbrook reportedly looks, quote, as explosive as ever, unquote, in practice.
It's predictable. Yeah. If Wilbon were here, he would say, I'm not surprised. This series is 2-2. This guy's an MVP. He's not some guy named Jack. He's Russell Westbrook. If he'd played in all four games, it'd be 3-1 or 4-0. He went out to heal. He's healed. I expect him to be explosive.
Yeah, my word is gamesmanship. They want OKC to know that he's explosive, but he hasn't played since August 11th. I got one for you, Tony. I'm going to give a little UB Brown here. In the painted area, Russell Westbrook is third in the league in points in the paint behind Giannis and Zion. He's so important to their offense. Good to have him back.
Big deal. That's a big deal. Yep. Next.
Last one. It would be blank if Novak Djokovic does not win the U.S. Open.
It would be humiliating. He's the number one player in the world. He's the top seed. He's expected to win. He's won this tournament three times. There's no Nadal. There's no Federer, right? The only guy who's seeded, who's ever won this thing is Cilic, and he's seeded 31, and nobody remembers him. Embarrassing beyond words if Djokovic loses this.
You're 100% right. That's my word is sick. Remember, he had COVID a couple of months ago when he was playing these exhibition games over in Serbia without a mask, no social distancing going on. By the way, Kim Clijsters back in the U.S. Open. She's retired twice. Who does she think she is, a boxer? I didn't know tennis players did that. Two retirements coming back. Not bad.
That's fantastic. I love when people retire and then come back. Frank's words, though, not about Clijsters, but everything else kind of soft.
Sorry.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, a teammate's encouraging observation about Cam Newton.
You stole my word, encouraging. And does Lionel Messi's future lie with Man City? Soft.
So
you
seriously, if Djokovic loses, it's like Larry Holmes to boxing. Comes in on another era and piles up numbers. That's all it is.
He'll win.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 70th birthday, Ron Guidry. Louisiana Lightning. Guidry was impossibly thin for someone who threw so hard. His program weight was 161, so you know he was thinner than that. In 1978, when he was the AL Cy Young winner, Guidry was 25-3 with a 1.74 ERA. He allowed 187 hits in 273 innings, and he threw 9 shutouts. That's Gibson and Koufax land. It may be the greatest season for a starting pitcher in the last 50 years. The only people in that neighborhood were Dwight Gooden in 1985, going 24-4 with a 1.53 ERA, and Pedro Martinez in 1999, going 23-4 with a 2.07 ERA. Plus 22 and a 1.74 in the American League for Guidry. Wow. On a personal note, I was covering the World Series in 1978, Yankees and Dodgers, when Bill North hit a foul ball back into the press box off Guidry. I got it, and I broke all the rules by getting North and Guidry to sign it, and here it is. This is it. I've had it all these years.
That's impressive. I used to duck when the balls would come back into the press box. By the way, 273 innings? That's when men were men, Tony. How about pitching that much? Pretty impressive. By the way, Harvey Aaron wrote a great book on Ron Guidry and Yogi Berra, their relationship, Driving Mr. Yogi. I got to give my guy a plug.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Happy anniversary, Lloyd McClendon. On this day, 49 years ago, 12-year-old McClendon hit the first pitch he saw in the Little League World Series championship game for a home run. It was the last pitch he saw. He was walked intentionally the rest of the game. The Gary, Indiana Little Leaguer hit 5 home runs in the tournament, all on the first pitch. In each of his 10 other at-bats, he was walked intentionally. He was given the nickname Legendary Lloyd. In the championship game, the winning Taiwan team had said they would rather lose the game than lose their honor by walking McClendon. It took them one pitch to change their minds. McClendon went on to have an 8-year major league career, but he is best known as a manager. In 2001, while managing the Pirates, McClendon became so enraged by calls by first base umpire Rick Reed that he removed first base from its moorings, carried it off the field, and threw it into the dugout. The next day, his players mounted that base in the clubhouse.
You know, Tony, in 1982, he was actually traded by the Mets to Cincinnati to bring back Tom Seaver to New York. And I think I saw Jim McKay and Mickey Mantle interviewing Lloyd McClendon. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
At the World Series, that's true. A melancholy trails to Lute Olson. The Hall of Fame basketball coach died yesterday at age 85. Olson brought both Iowa and Arizona to the Final Four and won the national championship in 1997 with an Arizona team led by Mike Bibby, Jason Terry, and Miles Simon. Olson's winning percentage in college was 73.7. He coached at Arizona for 24 seasons, and while he was there, he became one of only 5 D1 coaches all time to win 20 games in 20 consecutive seasons. After Olson coached his final season in 2007, his 781 victories ranked 6th all time. Olson sent a bunch of players to the NBA, including Richard Jefferson, Damon Stoudemire, Gilbert Arenas, Channing Frye, and Andre Iguodala. And 2 of his players not only played in the NBA, but they are now head coaches in the NBA, Steve Kerr and Luke Walton. Jefferson tweeted out this tribute yesterday to Olson, quote, "It's rare that a man is a Hall of Famer and still underappreciated. I will always feel like you never got the credit you deserved."
Really one of the legendary names. And, you know, Steve Kerr also tweeted out a nice tribute. Think about it. Steve Kerr was a freshman at Arizona when Steve Kerr's dad, Malcolm, was assassinated. Remember, he was the president of American University in Beirut,
Lebanon. In Beirut.
Think about what Lute Olson must have meant to Steve Kerr to be that young of a guy and lose his father.
And Steve Kerr talked about that.
Yeah.
What a great influence. You know, and they all called him Coach O. What a great influence he was. All right, let's go to the big finish. Frank, the NHL won't play tonight, but the WNBA will. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the NHL, they wanted to get every team to just skip one game. It's done symbolically, so good job by the NHL. Jason McCourty told the Greg Hill Show that Cam Newton is at the Patriots practice facility when he arrives and when he leaves. Do you think that's a good sign?
That's the Tom Brady move. Outwork everyone else. It doesn't mean that Cam Newton will be Tom Brady, but if he can get the players to think that he works as hard as Tom Brady, that's great for that team. Manchester City, those in the know call it Man City, says it's confident it can land Lionel Messi if Barcelona lets him go. Frank, you played college soccer. Will that happen?
I think it can. They're certainly rich enough to do it. Part of the deal, Tony, would be Messi goes to Man City in the Premier League, physical league, and then 3 years later comes to NYCFC. They play in Yankee Stadium. Would he be the best player ever at Yankee Stadium? You have a chance. Answer it. No?
No.
All right.
No.
Joe DiMaggio.
Derek Jeter.
Naomi Osaka won in straight sets to advance to the final of the U.S. Open warm-up. Is that significant?
She's a great player. She was so impressive what she said when she sat out the entire tournament postponed for a day to get her back into it. Last one, baseball trade deadline on Monday. You expecting a lot?
Nah, nobody wants to take on salary. Not a lot of major trades. Not going to happen.
Joe DiMaggio in the old Yankee Stadium with Mickey Mantle.
There
in the new one, I think it's Jeter, don't you? We're out of time trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Frank Isola. PTI is bumped until next Wednesday. Am I saying that on a hot mic? Have a great weekend. Next Wednesday.
Yeah, just don't say Brody Van Wagenen.